Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Warning, warning, happy hour listeners. We really earned our not safe for work or anywhere rating this week with Suzanne Wong, our filthy, filthy friend who we love with the heat of a thousand white hot suns, who is struggling with cancer again. But there's something right in the world when she's still just as filthy. So here we go. Warning, warning. Happy, happy hour, bitches. Suzanne Wong is back.
Yeah!
Fuck yeah.
And she's alive, motherfuckers.
Yay.
She fisted stage 4 cancer in the ass and made it her bitch. And now the bitch is back. There's going to be crying. There might be snotting on your shirt, but there's going to be laughter.
Yes.
Hi, Suzanne. Well, what the fuck are you drinking?
I'm drinking an organic fucking green juice.
It smells wonderful.
Is there ginger in it?
Oh, yes.
Well, that gives a little zing.
Listen to me. If it weren't for cancer, I would eat bacon and Hostess white powdered donuts every meal, every day. So, you know, this doesn't make me happy, but...
You did the happy hour when it was behind the paywall, and then you've obviously been on the regular show, and we've talked about your whole path. Now, I ate very loud, crunchy things during the original happy hour, talking about your cancer, during very tender moments.
I also heard that was one of the filthiest happy hours ever.
Oh, she's a fucking whore.
Yeah.
She hosted a show on the Playboy channel,
and she's fucking filthy about fetishes. I'm fascinated by fisting and felching and, you know, all the deviant. Huh. I think it's hilarious and fascinating.
She has two Ivy League degrees, but she also has fucked in my bathroom with Jeff. During a dinner party. Oh, was I not supposed to say that?
Oh my God.
I was like, well, we were outside at a barbecue, and I was like, wow, where are Suzanne and Jeff? And then they came out of the bathroom, with the JBF hair, and I was like, what is happening?
Are we going to, like, censor part of this podcast?
No, she knows.
It's got an explicit tag.
She's a whore. She knows.
We just never talked about it on the air.
They have a very healthy sex life. I was just happy the counter didn't break. I was like, whew, okay, everything's
I'm
good.
I'm have to have a drink.
Wow. Oh, my God.
That's awesome. Oh, my God.
Starting off with a bang.
Yeah.
I just want to make her comfortable.
Literally. Bang.
Bam.
And here I thought we were just going to celebrate Sarah Huckabee Sanders' retirement.
Yay!
Oh,
yeah, that news is breaking as we're taping.
I'll drink to that.
Yeah.
I felt like one of our listeners tweeted, like, thought to take her squiggy eye and go lumber back to the barn. And that was before then. I feel like maybe that was the one thing that hurt her feelings. She actually left. Maybe that's why she lumbered back to the barn. That's mean.
We say that she goes to the barn to feed directly from the cow because she couldn't get food at the table with the other Husky boys around.
If you've seen the Huckabee Christmas picture, they're all little. Like, we feel like she's the one that didn't get enough nutrition, so she had to suck off a cow in the barn. Not in a dirty way, in a nutrition way.
In a healthy way.
Yeah, don't be a whore. Listen, your friend drove you here. Dawn Marie Ferrara is right there.
Yay. Dawn Marie.
Fucking New York's in the house.
She's
over there.
She's from New York.
We're going to drag you in here one way or another.
I know you said you're not 718, but you fucking read 718
for
me.
She sounds like
718. Just do a walk-in. Do a walk-in. She's a beautiful actress,
hello.
Too. Okay.
How you doing?
How you doing?
And she's also political, too, so she's very excited about
girl?
This.
How are you doing?
Yeah, man. She's awesome.
We could replace one of these useless bags of flesh.
Right?
waste of microphones.
Let's replace Felicia.
Oh, your tumor. Let's just wait on the fucking Felicia, the goddamn sternum tumor that is.
Okay.
Jesus, this is like
wants
alien.
So much attention.
Let's everybody call Felicia a bitch.
Yeah.
Like an alien because it is popping out of her chest.
Bye.
So wait, Dawn Marie, can I just say your Rita Moreno is your cousin?
Yeah.
That's all.
That's amazing.
I didn't even know that.
What?
Really? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, she's one of the executive producers of the new Spielberg-directed West Side Story.
Yes. Travis, I was kidding about you being a wasted bag of flesh. Holy I would like shit. You to also talk during this.
Sean and I will share my needs this microphone more than I do.
No, you both share.
I didn't mean to call you a waste of a microphone.
As you know, Donald Trump has made me mean.
Yeah.
Don Marie.
How do you feel about Donald Trump, Don Marie?
All right. What's that? What did you say? Oh,
how do you feel about Donald Trump? What would you like to say, Don Marie?
Any fucking New Yorker's got any fucking thing to say about that maroon?
Forget about it. Nah. I just want him gone. Yeah. I just want him friggin' gone. Just take him out.
Don't you think he's the one that's trying to kill Suzanne? Don't you feel like it's the goddamn stress?
Do you know that the stress...
I'm not kidding.
I'm not kidding either. It started then and it has gradually continued. It has been so... Between that and the fucking Kavanaugh hearing, forget it.
Yeah. It's not going to happen, but if it did, Suzanne, I'll be like, you kill my friend, prepare to die. All right. if I ever run into Donald Trump, which I'm sure I will.
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah, it's not happening.
Maybe Pelosi needs to do impeachment as the cure for this.
We need
that could solve the problem.
Yes. It would certainly help.
All right. Suzanne.
Yeah.
Now, I talked about on the air. What?
This is my first time meeting Chris.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. Let's reset.
Okay.
For those that have not heard Suzanne on the Happy Hour or on the regular show. Or heard me talk about her. You fanboyed on her because...
I did.
Okay. A lot of people because of House Hunters.
I was also a fan of House Hunters.
Okay.
But before that, I was a big fan of Breakfast Time on FX.
Oh!
On which you are a road warrior.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's probably my favorite job ever on television. Right. And it was only on for a year. And a lot of people didn't get to see it. And it was so much fun. It was Tom Bergeron was one of the hosts.
I love him.
And they had four road warriors. And our job was to go all around the United States, do live human interest segments. So I've been to every state in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a fun live. It was sort of like Letterman meets Good Morning America. It was just a morning show. It was
set in an apartment, an actual apartment in New York City, near Madison Park or something.
Pay attention over there.
Madison Square Park.
Yep.
Flatiron District.
Yep.
Yeah. He almost said Madison.
Madison Square, whatever. Yeah. And they had a puppet co-host named Bob. It was awesome.
You were also a huge Arrested Development fan where she played Olive Garden.
Yes.
The Asian prison gang leader, of course. And by the way that happened was I told a story about my journey with tit cancer at a spoken word thing called Sit and Spin.
It's the happy hour, so we can say titty, titty, titty. Titty cancer,
that's
fuck
right.
You. Fuck you, titty
fucking
cancer.
Fucking fisting ass fuck. Cancer. Anyway,
okay.
So I told the story at a spoken word thing called Sit and Spin, and Jim Vallely was in the audience, and he's the co-exec producer of Arrested Development, and he loved my story, and then I sent him my stand-up reel, and he sent it to Mitch Hurwitz.
What was the name of your one-woman show? You Now Which Laughing? Show?
I Make You Laughing. I Make You Laughing.
So racist. Your car is yellow and it has a gook waffle license plate.
It says Crasian, not gook waffle.
Well, what's gook waffle?
Gook
waffle
is my email address. Because I can take back the power of words that have been used to hurt me.
Okay.
I call you round eye.
Yeah, and I call you Crasian. Because you are the fucking Crasian that everyone cheated off of, obviously. You wouldn't have Ivy League degrees coming out your asshole. You were valedictorian of your class. You went to where? Yale, Brown.
Are you jealous of me now, though? Do you wish you had this?
When they do colonoscopies, they're like, oh, there's another Ivy League degree. Oh, are we done? No. Oh, fucking overachiever. Oh, tiger daughter.
Speaking of colonoscopies, I'm doing a bunch of enemas now to get rid of parasites and tapeworms and candida.
I read that. Let's do one on air.
Wow. This is not Katie Couric. This is not the Today Show.
Suzanne was also Polly, the oversexed spa manager on Las Vegas, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
That was not acting because she's a whore, as we've already covered.
Stephanie.
What? She knows.
It was so much fun working on that show. I basically was given free rein to say whatever I wanted in one take after we got the NBC approved take in the can. And the can. Somehow.
Oh, she's the can.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Anyway, somehow a lot of the things that I said only for the benefit of making the crew guys laugh that I never thought would make it on the air would make it on the air. One time I made a fisting reference. I said, oh, my boyfriend, the Cholho, he mad at me like time I put fist in bad place get stuck?
On NBC.
And they left it in.
Oh, God.
And all my friends call up and say, I don't understand. Are the NBC censors not watching this show? And I'm thinking, the word fist is not on that shit, fuck, cunt,
yeah,
motherfucker.
Right.
It's not on there.
We've debated it on the Stephanie Miller show. I'm like, can I say she fisting? Fisted State Fork Cancer?
Yeah. But what was the verdict?
Well,
I don't think so.
We're afraid bleeped to cross that fisted, line. And then I did the rest of it and made it her bitch. I can say that.
Yes. And you can say ass.
You can say bitch
so
and
in
ass.
In honor of
Rocket
right. Man, the bitch is back.
Yeah.
Back.
Yeah, the bitch is back.
Fisting conjures up an image in people's minds. I think that's what's the whole thing about it.
That's because you say that because you're a homo.
Well, you know. All right.
Have you ever fisted?
What? Oh, now we're talking. Yeah,
The silence is
let
deafening.
Me get some popcorn.
Yes, yes.
Let me have some popcorn.
And was there fasting first? Because I hear it's easier.
No, you clean yourself out.
Oh,
okay.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
I'm a Catholic.
No, beforehand. It's just polite to do so.
Yeah.
I have a question. I'm a Catholic girl.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I don't. So what is that? Is it your fist up his or his fist
not,
up yours?
Like
are going to be a
punch through? You
like
ease
oh,
it.
Oh, it's not like
you
rock,
can
right.
be the
it's not like Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
The fister or the fisty.
Yeah.
Oh.
We could be a fisting top
feel,
or a fisting bottom.
Does that feel good?
Okay. You've never fisted a woman?
No.
In the hoo-ha instead of the back hole? No?
You know, just no.
Punch through the
fists
coochie.
Fists are not involved in my love.
Fingers?
Yes, but not.
Not a fist?
Like, how many fingers?
Not a fist.
How
not,
many fingers?
Like, what do you think I've been with
if
all women
if
that
it's
have
four
had
or five
12
fingers,
children?
Because
I still can't.
If it's
hang on.
Five fingers.
Yeah, if it's five fingers, you fist
did
it.
Not do that.
Well, it just depends. If the woman's like the Grand Canyon down there,
some
then you can get it in
like
there easily.
A few more fingers, but I have not been with anyone that needs a fist.
Travis.
See, you know what?
Oh,
here's
God.
The thing.
You're
okay,
just,
I was prepared.
Snorted.
I was going to talk about Donald Trump. Sarah Sanders resigning, Kellyanne Conway and her ethics violations.
Oh, no. Oh, no. You're not getting
no.
off here, so to speak. Wow. Wow. Yeah. No, I mean, it's a little more gradual. It's like, one, okay, good. That was good.
No, that's...
I still hope we have next week's podcast guest after this one comes out.
You don't... When you're fisting, you don't start out with five fingers. You start out with one. Work up
but the
two.
Whole fist?
You don't punch. It's like
okay.
you go like this.
What is she, fucking Mrs. Walton? She said 12 kids? Lesbians generally haven't had to. Okay, here's what I want to say. You, I know that we are both racist because you call me round eye and I call you Crasian. However, you are looksist because you and all your friends, because every time I look on Instagram, look at her and look at Vanessa Marcel, who's going to call in, your other best friend. Have any of you not been on People Magazine's Most 100 Most Beautiful People list? You shallow Hollywood motherfucker. And yet, am I still single? Yes, because you're all fucking straight girls. What's that about?
Maybe you need to get your fisting technique down.
Too friggin' shay.
Yep.
What up, New York?
How you doing?
How you doing, honey?
Maybe you can convert Dawn Marie. You never know.
Seriously, are all your friends just straight and beautiful? Because every picture I see, I'm like, what? Are you all, like, is that how you screen them on the 100 Most Beautiful list? Or
they just have to be smart, funny, and talented. If they happen
whatever.
To be attractive, whatever.
Whatever. Let's talk.
By the way, Stephanie, thank you for coming to my fundraiser in March. It was so amazing to have you. And the only reason you were there is because it started at 1.
Yeah, I know.
Because
you
Lord
that
knows
for me.
You can't come to
afternoon.
The next one because the next one's at 7:30. So you're like, no, past my bedtime.
I know, but that's why we're doing this, so we can tell people to go to your GoFundMe. Because,
absolutely.
And
yeah.
as we've talked about when you've been on the show before, Suzanne, quite seriously, this is such fucking bullshit
it
in
is,
America.
It is.
I know that because you've been on the show before and we know you're that when you beat stage 4 cancer the first fucking time, you lost your house, you went through all this shit. Like,
I went $500,000 into debt.
Yes.
I had to sell my house.
Yeah.
Because the things that actually have worked for me are not covered by insurance, and cancer is big business, and the cutting, burning, poisoning method is just not for me, but that's the lucrative stuff, and that's what's covered by insurance. And so if you want to veer off that path, then you have to come up with money.
What did you do the first time? What kind of treatment did you do the first
time? Well, I mean, this is now the fourth time. So the first time I just got a lumpectomy, and then I made some lifestyle changes because I didn't want to do radiation and chemo.
Yeah.
And then the second time, I didn't even do surgery because I felt like that didn't work because it just came back. And then when it went to stage four in 2011, I was in excruciating pain because my back was broken. And I suddenly changed from, okay.
Wait. How did your back get?
Because it had metastasized. Stage four means it's moved away. So it was in my skull, my sternum, my left breast, my right breast, my lymph nodes, my T10 vertebra, and my left hip. So it was everywhere.
And you're 5'4 and you weigh like 14 pounds. If people are not getting the video cast. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, because I was in excruciating pain, I had never had a broken back before.
Yeah.
Instead of going, oh, wave some sage over me and I'll meditate the pain away, I actually said, oh, no, in this case, we're doing surgery because I don't care if you have to cut the heads off endangered species and shove them in my back. I'm going to get rid of all political correctness.
Fuck that. What's that?
Just
a bald eagle? Cut its head off and shove it off my ass.
Make this.
Again with the ass.
Yeah.
Is that un-American? I don't think so, New York.
You're kind of ass-focused today. Why?
If I don't know why. She talks about fisting a lot. Suzanne. Do you know her? Okay, go ahead.
I think felching's even funnier,
yeah,
to be honest.
That is, yeah.
What's that?
No.
That's
not
when
in front of my son.
Somebody, Sean's your pretend son?
Yeah.
Okay, cover your
Everything Sean. In my life is pretend.
It's usually when
a guy
is comes in an orifice, whether it's a pussy or an asshole, and then puts his own mouth on that orifice and sucks his own cum out and swallows it.
I'm sorry.
That's felching.
And it sounds like what it means.
What was
it's
the,
like
what, the last part was what?
That sucks it his own cum out and swallows it.
This
New York, what?
So if it's
what's
in
going
a,
on over there?
So if it's in an ass,
Dommery.
There could be dingleberries and you know little hairs.
Why would you do that? I don't understand.
It's intimate.
What do you mean?
Did she say yum?
It's
what?
I did.
So maybe Dawn Marie's done it. I mean, not.
No, she. You can't.
Well, she could do the sucking out and swallowing part.
Dawn Marie, I would do anything for you.
Flexible as hell.
I'm not sure about that. Might be a negotiation.
Does anyone ever,
you know, this make pot. Love and like, you know, like kind of make out and then, you know. Little nipple, nipple. Little.
Well, that all comes before the felching.
Coming, looking into each other's eyes. Okay, all right, never mind. Okay.
This podcast is earning its explicit badge.
Wow, not safe, not just for work. You didn't for anywhere.
Hide your children.
Roll up the windows if you're listening in the car.
Oh, my God.
I know you already know I'm a Hollywood name dropper, so guess what? Here's Todd Simon, owner of Omaha Steaks. Oh, this is very exciting. We've talked to a lot of big names, but Todd Simon is a fifth-generation owner of Omaha Steaks. Todd, hello.
Hey, how are you, Stephanie?
I am good, and my guys here can tell you,
yep.
I am not making this up. I have said over and over again, these are the best steaks and burgers I have ever had at Omaha Steaks. I love them.
Well, thank you for saying so.
What? Because I remember a butcher a long time ago telling me the quality of the meat is everything. And if you have great meat, all you need is like what you have, like the Omaha Steaks signature seasoning and heat, and that's it, right? If it's a good quality meat. How do you guys, tell me how you get the quality of meat that you have?
Well, first of all, you know, unlike some people might think that Omaha Steaks isn't based in Omaha, Nebraska, but they would be wrong. We are based in Omaha, Nebraska. And we get the first look at the very best beef in the country. So we start out close to the source of supply. We start out with the very best beef. And then we naturally age it for 21 to 28 days. Now, aging is an old world process that's all but lost today, but that gives beef its mellow flavor, its rich flavor, and also starts to make it very, very tender. And then from there we hand trim it. So that each steak is perfect and very consistent, so you don't have like, you know, one steak for your, you know, in your family for dinner that's a half inch thick and another one that's an inch thick and they don't cook at the same time. You know, we try to make it very consistent.
Yeah.
And then we vacuum seal it and then we flash freeze it. And that flash freezing is something that you just can't do at home. What we do is we basically put the steak in a state of suspended animation. So when you go to eat it and you thaw it out, it's going to be perfect. Like it's actually fresher than fresh.
I am a Libra, so I fell in love with the filet mignons 2 weeks ago, and then I had the top sirloins, and now I can't decide. But, yeah, I mean, the burgers, really unbelievable. I was saying, you know, I love this Father's Day package that you've offered, because my dad, you know, a lot of people have, like, my dad loved steak. And mm-hmm. so I think it's a thing that, you know, it also kind of brings back memories, right? Like, I just remember that steak on the grill and corn on the cob, sliced tomatoes, whatever you got. But it is, your steaks are just honestly the best I've ever had.
You know, there was recently a survey done by one poll of 2,000 dads. And one of the things it revealed is that 3 in 4 dads prefer an experience over a physical gift for mm-hmm. Father's Day.
Yeah.
And that sitting down for a meal with dad is an amazing idea, because 79% of dads said they like to bond with their children over food. So Omaha Steaks really checks a bunch of boxes there. And then, of course, the crazy thing about it is that dad actually wants to get out to the grill and make that dinner. So it's, you know, it's kind of it's an amazing way to bring the family together on sort of dad's favorite day. You know, 57% of dads said that Father's Day is their favorite day of the year.
Yum, yum, yum. And now back to the happy hour. Jeff, who you fucked in my bathroom, refers to you as his soul twin. I have to say, the thing you sent out for the, you know, the next, and I have to say, the benefit you had, which was sort of like a comedy funeral, except it was, you know, to raise money
had people perform whatever comedy, music, whatever, but if they wanted to, they could do a brief 1 minute, what I call eulogy, which is you tell somebody what you would say at their memorial service, but you tell them now while they're alive instead of waiting until they're dead, and then you're telling everybody else but them.
Yeah.
And so I thought,
which is
it's a really powerful thing to give and to receive. And I got to receive a bunch of them, and it was incredible.
Jody and Hamilton and I were sitting together, and we were alternately laughing and
crying.
As you do with you. You had, you put googly eyes on your tumor and lipstick.
Yes, I exposed it, and I wore a low-cut thing, and I put googly eyes, lashes, and lips on it, and decided to name it Felicia so that we could all go, bye, Felicia.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that fucker is like a guest at a party that does not get a hint that we're all like, oh, wow, I got to get up
and
early.
I really thought that using the humor and shining the light on it, because, you know, that would be a really great, effective thing. And then having the fundraiser and receiving all this love and, you know, instead of being antagonistic, just thank you. We love you. Yeah. And bye bye. Thank you for the lessons. Because, you know, people love when you have cancer to say, fight it and battle it and fight and struggle and battle and good luck with the fight and be a fighter. And that doesn't work for me. Now, for some people, that might work for them and that might be what they need in life. But I've been a rebellious sort of feisty fighter forever. And here's what I think. And I said this at the fundraiser. So, you know, George Carlin said fighting for peace is like fucking for virginity. It's like that. I don't want to have the same energy around the cancer as the cancer. So instead of, I've got to fight, because also if you enter into a battle, that means you could lose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how about if it's a tug of war, how about I just drop the rope and walk away? That way I can't possibly lose. I'm just going to let it go and go over here instead, if that makes sense. So I just want people to understand that don't buy into some sort of hypnotic thing that everyone thinks that they're supposed to say, fight it and battle it, and how's the struggle going, and how's the fight, and fight and fight, because that's not what I want to hear, and that doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
I'm releasing it. I'm learning lessons. I'm embracing my health again. You know, Einstein said a problem cannot be solved from the same energy or consciousness level that created the problem.
Yeah.
Martin Luther King Jr., darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. And I feel like fighting cannot drive out cancer. Because think about it, how's the war on drugs and the war on cancer and the war on terror all gone?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, those are all gone. No, it doesn't work.
And you sing this hilarious, amazing version of I Will Survive with your own words, which you did at the karaoke party.
Which
too.
I did. And there was, one particular part where I said, I had to ask for help and love, and then I started to get strong. I just had to be reminded I am Suzanne fucking Wong.
Yeah.
And that's why.
That's right, motherfuckers.
And that's why I decided to name this fundraiser Suzanne fucking Wong's I'm Still Alive fundraiser. So this new path is I'm digging deeper. I'm doing a lot of, because this, because Felicia is fused to my sternum and chest wall and inoperable.
Inoperable, yeah.
It's directly over my heart chakra. And so I'm doing a lot of, I believe in the mind-body-spirit connection. So in addition to targeted cancer treatments and changing my diet and things like that, I'm also working in therapy on releasing past heartbreak, betrayal, trauma, resentments, because I want the need for something to protect my heart chakra to go away by healing that stuff. So I'm simultaneously doing that kind of work. I also, because of Karen Rontowski, who I introduced you to.
Who we've had on the Happy Hour.
Yes, Karen Rontowski is awesome. She referred me to a shaman named Emmanuel who lives in Kauai, who she highly recommended. And I've never gone on a shamanic healing journey.
So you and Jeff are going,
yes,
man,
we're
to
going.
Surf and to fucking...
He's going to surf, and I'm going on a spiritual journey in heaven on earth, if you've ever been to Kauai.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
And, you know, it's not free to go, and he's not charging me for... The healing journey, which is amazing, but he said, you know, if there's anything you can donate. So this is to raise funds for this trip that's coming up in July, where I'm feeling like if it hadn't gotten to this point, I never would have been interested in a shamanic healing journey. You know, what is that? And I'm really always open to embracing new paradigms and things like that. But honestly, if it weren't for Jeff, I really think I would have committed suicide in October.
You said this. This is so heartbreaking, Suzanne, what you wrote. You said, this has been such a brutal chapter in my life, walking through the depths of physical and emotional pain. I've never had so much compassion for people who choose to end their lives. If it weren't for Jeff's unconditional love, irreverent sense of humor, and irrepressible desire for me to stay on the planet, I don't think I'd still be there. Ugh.
It's
all
true.
Right, so that's where I start crying, because... that was apparent at this last fundraiser. Just, you know, his love for you, your love for each other, your body. This is why I wore this T-shirt, Sisterhood is Global, for fucking New York over there. And you, and also Vanessa Marcel, who's your best friend.
Yes.
And I have
best
friends.
Who hopefully will be calling in soon.
And I mean, we've all done this, right? Where, like, I had a friend, you know, get a pacemaker, and I was in the hospital making her laugh. And my best friend for 40 years has had incredible health challenges that I almost lost to. She had a hysterectomy and had a bleeding and emergency surgery. And so I know that sort of. And Dawn Marie, I just wanted to ask you, because I was looking, you experienced losses so early in your life, the untimely deaths of both of your parents. Your father was killed when you were 5. Your mother succumbed to cancer a year later. At 6, you went to live with your maternal grandmother. She too died from cancer.
Yeah.
So.
And now she's totally here for me with this journey and helping me and giving me rides wherever I need to go. She also is an essential oil genius. Is Vanessa calling in?
We have a call on line one. Yeah, line 6.
Hang on. Okay.
Do you know what to do?
Answer it like usual.
How do I do it?
There you go.
Hi, Vanessa. Is that you? Hello, Vanessa.
Hi,
Vanessa.
Yay! Vanessa's here.
She just cock-blocked your story, Dawn Marie, but we'll get back to that.
We're getting back to the cock, aren't we?
All right, we'll get back to that. Hey, Vanessa. Hi, Vanessa. Are you there?
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
Hi, Bunny.
Hi, Bunny.
I was saying how really looksist Suzanne is, since you have been not only like Suzanne on People's Most Beautiful Girl list, you also were the inspiration for Prince's music video, The Most Beautiful Girl in the World.
No, isn't that crazy? Clearly he was talking about internal beauty.
No, Vanessa.
He was talking about good personality.
No.
That's what the song was about.
No. I was like, listen, she's been in Hallmark and Lifetime movies. You have to be fucking smoking beyond hot for that. But you... So wait, you were his muse?
Lighting.
Yeah. All right, whatever, Vanessa. Listen, you were Prince's muse for The Most Beautiful Girl in the World. Tell us why, how, what?
Oh, gosh. Oh. Well, Suzanne will tell you, I can't really talk about that much. He didn't really like that, you know?
Oh.
Yeah.
He didn't really like it.
He was really private.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bunny, I had nothing to do with her talking about that, just
Suzanne
FYI.
Liked that, too. Yeah, Bunny, thanks.
Okay, Vanessa, here's what, first of all...
Suzanne's almost as private as Prince, by the way. She's, like, pretty close.
Yeah.
That's why it was, you know, it's really meaningful that she's come out and just kind of so vulnerably and bravely spoke to the world about what she's going through. And she really does it to help other people, but also to, you know, live a life of freedom. Because obviously we all know we're only as sick as our secrets. And some of that stuff was like she needed to be able to share it so that she could help other people, but so that also so that people could give to her and she could receive all the things that she deserved that she's always given to everyone else her whole life.
Bunny, shut your mouth.
Shut your trap, Bunny. You guys have a podcast called Love Stop. You know, Vanessa, we were just saying before you cock-blocked and her other best friend here that... No, you have a filthy podcast with because as we all know, Suzanne is filthy.
What?
Yeah. What? Well, our podcast has been put on the back burner because Suzanne always comes up with excuses like, I have cancer.
I have cancer. She's such a whiner.
She is.
But Vanessa, I first of all, I have to say, so we were talking about, like, we all know what this is like. I've had best friends with serious health stuff going on, and clearly, Suzanne, I'm wearing the T-shirt I wore is Sisterhood is Global because Suzanne has one, a sisterhood and a brotherhood, but it really is so important, isn't it? When you're, we were just talking about Dawn Marie's experience, you know, death of her family members at such a young age. And it, I mean, sometimes this is all we have is like, you know, the what do we call it? Chosen family.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
Wayne Dyer said, our friends are God's way of apologizing for our families.
Oh. So true. That's so true.
I'm mad at my man and he's amazing and I admire him and all that bullshit, but I don't really, you know, I just want to hang out with my girlfriends. Like, they're the ones, men come and go, women are forever. That's how I've always felt my whole life, always. I mean,
you
women
know, as
are
a
such warriors. I think women are unbelievable creatures, and we go through so much physical bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We still get up and handle everything, and try to make everyone feel good, and I just love women.
You know, Vanessa, can I just say, I'm a lesbian. You are smoking hot. From the fact that you just called your relationship bullshit, I feel like I have an in here.
Oh, stop it.
I'm going to work like a motherfucker.
Oh,
but
God.
Listen. No, but if you don't know Vanessa Marcil, Brenda Barrett on General Hospital, Gina Kincaid on Beverly Hills 90210, Sam Marquez on Las Vegas. So, you know, you also have a storied career like Suzanne.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm always still amazed. Like, I started acting at 5 on stage, and it was always my greatest passion. But, you know, I'm from Indio. I didn't realize you could actually make a living at something you love. So I'm always still shocked. I mean, I was going to law school. I wanted to be a lawyer. Now I want to be a cop. So I'm always thinking, like, well, I'll get to my real career as soon as I stop getting acting jobs. It just kept coming. So it's, you know, I feel like it's a miracle. I mean, I'm so grateful to be able to work in this industry. It's such an incredible, fun job to have.
Well, you guys are all amazing. I've sort of known of you through Suzanne, but so you obviously done you have a child with Brian Austin Green, who was your castmate. How many kids do you have?
I have 2 kids. My son, that's Cassius. Whose father you mentioned is Brian Austin Green. And
I'm Cassius's godmother.
Godmother,
yay.
Right? There
yeah.
you go.
Yes.
Suzanne is the most amazing godmother. I mean, lots of times she bugs the shit out of me, but she's such a good godmother.
Yeah, she's a fucking, Jesus Christ, pain in my ass.
But she's an amazing godmother. My son is so crazy about her, and she has been there for us and my son in our darkest hours. And then, you know, she's there to laugh. And enjoy all the good times too. Like, she's just a rock. She's our rock.
Aww.
Well, that's why so many people are here for her now, Vanessa. I mean, you know, it's so interesting. You in New York over there. But it is interesting.
Actually, they've met.
No, but you wonder if people
Dawn
that,
Marie's
that
met
have.
Vanessa.
There's a reason that you bond on such a deep level, because I was reading in here that you've had 7 miscarriages, that you've been.
Yeah.
Though you have 2 kids. So, and, you know, Dawn Marie experienced death of her family at such a young age. Has that made you guys able to be there for Suzanne in a way that's sort of on a deeper level than maybe some of us have experienced?
Well, we have been there for each other through really dark times. When we first met on the set of Las Vegas, it was instant friendship, and we made each other laugh, and we were sort of inseparable from working on that show moving forward. But between my health crises, she drove me to every doctor's appointment for 1 year when I was going through the worst of the cancer. And she was going through a horrific court case, and I was there at every hearing and writing every deposition declaration with her. And, you know, and so we have so much money in the bank with each other, honestly.
That's a great way to put it.
That's how we feel about each other. Yeah. We have just an endless well of money in the bank when it comes to each other.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny. I feel like, again, that's why I'm wearing this T-shirt. And Lily Tomlin and Jane Wagner sent this to me, who are my, like, good friends and mentors.
We adore them.
And mentors. But, I mean, talk about the sisterhood.
That's right.
Vanessa, right? Like, for my friend Trish, for my friend Wanda, I've sent you guys are both that get my daughter the shot friend, which I am. I am Shirley MacLaine.
Yeah. Please, I don't see why she has to have this pain. It's time for a shot. You understand? Do something. All she has to do is hold out until 10, and it's past 10. She's in pain. My daughter is in pain. Give her the shot. Do you understand? You're going to give my daughter the shot.
That's you guys, right?
Yeah.
Yes. That's who we are for each other.
Yeah.
That is correct.
I mean, Vanessa would sleep in the hospital room overnight in some uncomfortable chair, just making sure I'm okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Vanessa, so here's the other thing that I love about you. No, just because, I mean, I joke about the whole, you know, People Magazine, most beautiful.
Perfect.
Yeah. Most beautiful woman. Maxim Magazine, Hot 100, FM Magazine, 100 Sexiest Woman in the World. I love that you said, I don't know. What's that?
I do that shit in my spare time.
Yeah. Nice.
But you talked about in one thing, you said, I don't know any woman who doesn't have an anxiety attack about wearing a bathing suit. You talked about almost, and you go like, what? There is something about the sisterhood, right? No matter how beautiful all you guys are, there's something about that you can't explain, right? But you said you had an anxiety attack when you had to wear a bathing suit on, you know. And you're
actually,
one of the most beautiful women in the world for
bathing suits. I don't really think that much about how I look, honestly. Suzanne will, you know.
She doesn't. She's usually dressed like a bag lady.
Yeah. Fucking hot bag lady.
I'm like a dude in my day-to-day life. But, however, when I started on General Hospital, I was playing a 17-year-old. And they wanted me to be in a bathing suit on television. Like, on television.
Yeah.
Like a stripper. And I love strippers, but I'm just not one. So, you know what I mean? I'm not good at it like that. So
I could work with you.
Never wanted to be defined by, you know, you can be the hot girl of the moment, but you're not going to have an 80-year career.
Right.
And I truly love the craft of acting. I want to play grandmas and great-grandmas and the weird neighbor, and, you know, like, I'm not interested in being the hot girl at the moment. So I think my anxiety attack wasn't about, like, oh, am I good enough? Because I don't really give a shit about being, like, the cutest girl in the room, or because I could see nothing. Beauty is a handicap. What I cared about was being defined by that within my craft.
Right. And you don't want to be the bikini girl in everything.
No,
right.
You know, part of me wants to say that's fantastic.
I said no.
And yeah.
Part of me wants to say that's fantastic, and part of me wants to say go fuck yourself, Vanessa. But
you can say go fuck yourself to me, but I'm saying I'll rock the bikini in our private time.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Vanessa's a saucy little minx.
Uh-oh.
I feel like your friends are all straight and hot, but a little bit turnable.
Oh, love. Is this the real meaning of the...
Vanessa, thanks for being such a great friend to our friend Suzanne, and thanks for taking this time.
Thank you. She talks about you all the time, and honestly, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for being such a great source of laughter for her and intelligent conversation. And just,
well, it's hard, you know, to drag her along with the intelligence, but we try.
Yeah. She's not educated. Good thing she's not.
It's like reading for dummies, but, you know. Vanessa,
right, thanks for having me.
Thanks, buddy.
I know you're in a busy place and in a tough sell spot, and you did this for your friend, and thank you, honey. We appreciate it. Can't wait to meet you in person.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks, Vanessa.
Bye.
Aw.
Aw.
Yeah. All right. Dawn Marie, before she cock-blocked you.
Yes.
Can I just tell you, that was like my coming out Christmas, we call it in my family, because I was like in tears and a wreck and telling my big sister, I was like, I'm gay. And she's like, oh, Steffi Pauly's gay, my nephew. I'm like, what? I got totally fucking cock-blocked.
Oh, my God.
This is my coming
out
moment. She was more concerned about her son.
Oh.
And I was like, wait, what?
Wah, wah, wah.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, so your parents died when you were a toddler. Oh, there's a phone. There's a bigger name on the
womp, womp, womp.
Womp, womp, womp. Sad trombone.
But I think that going through really difficult stuff, right, it gives you more compassion for the human experience. And I think that, you know, Dawn Marie loves so deeply, and she has such a big heart. And, you know, I don't feel like, I'm not interested in people who've had a silver spoon in their mouth and everything's gone their way their whole life. I don't want to be around those people.
Yeah.
That's like something that, I swear to God, the conversation my husband and I had on Saturday, he said to me, I wonder which one of us is going to take care of the other one later in life.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I turned and looked at him. I said, well, your dad is taking care of your mom right now with congenital heart failure, mm-hmm. which is a very serious condition. He's been doing that for years. My mom took care of my dad when he was dying of cancer. And it was a 3-year process. Yeah. And it was one of those things where I turned and looked at him and go, I just know that we both have examples of what that kind of love is and that kind of support. And that's, I'm so thankful. I know that you have that in you. And it's
can I just say that you're going to age faster working for me?
And I'm also a year and a half older than him, so thank you.
So is it like when whoever becomes president usually turns gray really quickly? Yes. Is that Travis?
Hey, that's Travis.
My hair was not this color when I started.
Partially me, partially Trump. But but I'm sorry. So not everybody's cock-blocking Dawn
Marie. I know, I know. What do you want to know?
All right. So what was that like, and how did it inform you and your life and your relationships later? I mean, how do you go through it at that age? You were literally a toddler when you lost your parents and your grandmother, right?
It feels a little bit more that you're saying it because it's my life. So it just isn't is. I'll tell you, I got so many different lessons. The one thing that I know is that we have a finite time on this earth. Be careful who you bring in as your friends.
Yeah.
And I'm just so happy that I can count Suzanne as a friend.
Yeah.
And now you'll know that I'm Puerto Rican and Italian because I'm going to cry.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a puddle over you.
718 or 212.
No, 212,
all
baby.
Right. Jesus.
Little Italy. So close, but yet so far.
So far. Yeah.
So
no, I know.
It's one of those things. And you know,
it's hard to have a shallow relationship, right?
Yeah.
With Suzanne.
No. With And the people that you choose, like you're saying, I don't want somebody that, like, you know, had Trump's life. Fuck him.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want that shit. You want people that you can learn from, and they can learn from you. You can actually build each other up.
Yeah.
But does, give them wings to fly.
Experience tragedy that young, does it inure you in any way, or does it make it worse when it happens again later in your life?
It depends on who you are.
Yeah, I'm raised with a bunch of people that just said, you know, make believe that shit didn't happen. So for many years from my parents' death, I just kind of like, I can talk about my grandmother because about my mother with my grandmother there, because she cried every night for her daughter.
Yeah.
So it made me very sensitive to people's emotions and how words can affect people. Because if I just mentioned my mom and I was crying for my mom, I would send her into hysterics.
Yeah.
It was when my grandmother died that I cried for my parents. And I was 18 years old.
Wow.
So it's those survival things that you learn to just make it one more day. Just make it one more day.
Yeah.
You'll love
Listen,
this.
I know
she...
you. I know you were straight. Depending on my fisting,
I love the word.
Fisting ability.
I love the word.
Can I just say? Can I start dating your accent? Can I just start dating?
Listen.
I'll put it on Tinder. You're gonna swipe right. Tinder.
Just the way she pronounces Tinder.
Tinder.
Come on over. So how you doing? Come on over, Tinder.
Dawn Marie met her husband George. You're gonna love this.
Oh, fucking buzzkill that
at
is.
Gay Pride.
Nice.
They were both there as straight advocates. Yeah. They met each other there, and that's where they bonded.
Aww. Awesome.
That, and then we went to a strip club.
Well, that'll do it too.
Jumbo's Clown Room is the fucking glue for a lot of relationships. Up in here. Suzanne Wong.
Yes.
You know, it's good I'm far enough away from you that I can't snot on your shirt. But so Wednesday, June 26th, 7:30, and at the White Fire Theater.
Yes.
We're going to post all this, obviously, in Sherman Oaks. Mm-hmm. Only 85 seats available. Reserve your seat. Minimum $50 minimum suggested donation. But you can go
to
GoFundMe if you're around the country listening to this.
Yeah,
you
can. If you can't come, you can go to PayPal, funny@suzannehuang.com. You can go to my GoFundMe page and make a donation and be there in spirit. I have to say that I went from refusing to ever ask for help and be told that that's disgusting and tacky and you should be humiliated to do that, and realizing that when I would give to friends of mine who were in need, I didn't think of them as pathetic charity cases. I thought of them as a human who's going through something. And so to allow myself to even receive this stuff is sometimes still very uncomfortable, but it's really healing to crack my heart open and let all this stuff in.
But Suzanne, more than that, you know this from, and you guys both know this from your political activism, this is not you. This is America today. The people get sick and they have to go online and ask their friend, people to help them and GoFundMe.
That's how broken the system is.
Yeah. That it's not just you.
Yes.
You shouldn't feel ashamed or tacky or anything. I mean, my mom is 96, broke her hip. She just got diagnosed with Alzheimer's. We don't know how we're going to take care of her.
Yeah.
It's a whole long, complicated story, as it is with most families. But I've never had a dime of help from my family or a partner. I'm running my own business in this house, and I'm on the verge of, like, what do I do about my mom?
Yes.
Like, well, how do I
understand?
What happens if this happens and this happens? We can't afford 24/7 skilled nursing.
And people apparently so many people are one medical emergency away from bankruptcy.
Yes. Yeah.
From total bankruptcy.
Yes. You did it. And you lost your house and you were very sick. You are. And we're very successful. You had, like most people, you had shows, you had house hunters.
Thank goodness
this.
I had the money to spend. The reason that a lot of people end up doing Western medicine stuff that doesn't work for them is because that's the only thing that's covered by their insurance.
Right.
So that's what they do. And if it doesn't work, they don't have the luxury of, well, why don't I try this alternative place or this clinic or try, you know, change your lifestyle. I mean, these things are not cheap. This fucking thing costs $10, this green juice.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I want to tell you some of the people that are
really
performing.
Really disgusting, by the way, too. Not worth it.
It smells really good, though.
It actually tastes pretty good.
Yeah. Gross.
Put a little green apple in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
I don't know if that or fisting or felching wants to make me barf more.
Oh, felching.
A lot of stuff. I must love you.
Okay, so Brian Callen's doing stand-up. Kira Sultanovich, Dwayne Perkins, Karen Runtowski.
Yes.
Mark Fernandez, Christina Wong, Steve Postel's doing music, Amy Anderson's doing stand-up, Ty Fance will probably tell a story, Helen Hong is going to do stand-up, Gary Stockdale.
My second favorite Asian.
Gary Stockdale, Jody Siegel are doing music. Reverend James Mellon from the Global Truth Center will probably say something inspirational.
Like, if you were sick that day, I would have cheated off Helen Hong in class.
Oh, thank you. Shut up. Debbie June is probably going to tell a story. Jack Kennedy, Mary Jo Mundy's going to sing. James LeSure is going to come. He was in the show Las Vegas with me. Mo Gaffney's going to come. She hurt her wrist, so she might not, you know, perform.
Jacking off.
Lynn Stewart. Do you know Lynn Stewart? She was Miss Yvonne in Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Oh,
she's coming. Yeah, my friend Dante Spencer's coming. Anyway, it's going to be just maybe a little different.
A joyful noise.
From the first one where it was maybe more heartfelt and sort of gooey, touchy-feely. This is probably going to be more comedy, you know.
Comedy
more,
tonight.
More fun. It's going to be fun.
It's cancer tonight. Woo! Hey!
Cancer comedy. We got a little tumor humor. Woo!
Oh,
yes. It's healing.
It's cancer with more slide whistle. Okay. Everybody. I didn't cry. I'm going to cry after, though. I love you, Suzanne Wong. I love you. You are a force of nature.
Yes.
You are brilliant, smart, funny, kind, amazing, and you are fighting this like a motherfucker.
No, I'm not.
Well, okay, sorry, not fighting. We're embracing.
I'm
Felicia.
I
am not embracing Felicia.
No, I'm not saying embracing Felicia. I'm letting Felicia go. Yeah. Lovingly.
Listen,
I'm not fighting.
Dawn Marie's going to cut Felicia like a fucking bitch over there.
She can do whatever she wants. I'm just saying, please don't put it on me that's what I need to be doing.
I understand.
Get it? Yeah. Okay.
All right. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm not trying to be controlling or fisting you in any way.
You're trying to fist Vanessa, though, I can tell.
Right.
What? Oh, well.
You can learn some things about yourself today.
One more thing to say to you, 212. How you doing? How you doing? Susan Wong and her friends are so hot. Yeah. Okay, go to the. We'll post it all. Go to Suzanne's GoFundMe. Please
do it.
Help my friend. Look at her.
Help me,
fierce,
please,
man.
And it's been an honor meeting you.
She's
seriously
smart.
You too, Chris. Thank you.
I love you, Crasian.
I love you, Round Eye.
Oh.
Happy.
Oh my God.
Hey, this is Bob Seska, host of The Bob Seska Show. If you enjoyed this episode, you're going to love my show, where every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we talk about this guy.
Trump is crazy.
And this guy.
Trump is a f***ing idiot.
And we say this a lot.
Sweet, merciful crap.
Because.
He can't keep getting away with it.
Find The Bob Seska Show at sexyliberal.com and on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, BobSeska.com, and everywhere else you get your podcasts.